My last question is, am I perfect? Don't answer.
Welcome to One More Thing with Jay and Robert.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Robert. One More Thing is a podcast celebrating LGBTQ plus pop culture, recorded live in Jay's living room. Welcome to the grand finale, or no, I guess it's just the grand season finale of One More Thing.
Welcome to our season finale, our season one finale.
Woo!
Welcome to our season finale.
Yeah, surprise, it's a two-parter.
So we spent the last couple months having our straight friends come over and ask us questions that they had always been uncomfortable asking a queer person. We actually, surprise, are releasing two episodes today. There's this one, which is a regular episode, and then also today is going to come out a bonus episode that is questions that were inappropriate about sex, which, mom, don't listen to that one.
Yeah, this, honestly, this whole season, to specific people, I've been like, listen to all of it, but there will be one episode that comes at the end that you cannot listen to. That episode is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the other episode that comes out today, don't listen to it.
If you've been spoken to before.
Yeah. So anyway, we talked to a bunch of our straight friends.
Because we have some.
Yeah, surprise. We talked to Gabby Hammond, Megan Burnett, Kat Glaudini, Dominic Russo, Charlie Manoukian.
Oh, yeah.
And Anna Verde.
Oh, yeah, we did. Ooh. This was pre-producer Anna Verde.
This is actually, you probably won't hear it because I think I cut it, but this is actually where the seeds began being sowed for Anna to become our producer.
Yeah.
Yep. There she is. So enjoy this episode. It's a lot. And yeah, that's that. Please tell us your name,
your age,
and how you identify.
My name is Anna. I'm 22 years old. For Mona, I said 21 because I don't know how old I am. My most salient identity is annoying, but I identify as a Afro-Latina.
Your sexuality, Anna.
Oh, well, sorry. The only thing I think about is my race. I'm straight.
Do you want to be anonymous on the podcast?
Okay, I don't want to be anonymous, but I would like Jay to distort my voice in the editing just for a second, because I want to see what it sounds like.
Also, can I call you Princess Anna?
100%.
My name is Megan. I'm 23. I'm straight.
I kind of want people to Google me.
Do you want to plug your website?
CharlieManoukian.com. My name is Charlie. I am 23 years old. I identify as straight. I think you say straight cisgender.
Good job,
hey.
Charlie.
Hey, there you go.
My name is Kat. I'm 30 years old. I'm straight. Ish.
What do you mean straight-ish?
I like girls. I don't identify as bi.
Okay.
But I like girls and I have hooked up with girls.
Oh, okay.
Women, not girls.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Spoiler alert.
My name is Gabby Hammond.
Yeah.
I'm 22 years old. I am straight.
First of all, thank you so much. Beautiful questions. My name is Dominic Russo. I'm 24. I identify as straight, but like barely, in that sense where it's like, I don't want to call myself bi because I haven't had a homosexual experience, but I do like looking at guys.
Okay.
I told my mom, I actually have to prove that I'm straight to my parents constantly. I was doing a tour of like colleges and I literally said to my mom, I was like going to be like, where's the bathroom? And I was like, hey mom, I like, and she's like, are you gay? And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm not coming out to you on like this bus. I just, like, have to shit. Can we swear on one more?
Yes, the you're microphone? The second not bi straight, but, like, not straight, straight
like person bisexual adjacent person of the day.
I get frustrated with, like, identity politics. So that's an awful way to start a sentence. But for most part, for clarity and for ease, I just say straight. Because, like, for the most part, I literally go through life as a straight white man. So, like, to, like, sort of ingratiate myself into a queer culture that I don't feel I've earned. Feels dishonest to me.
Okay.
Okay, so my first question is, Robert, why aren't you Facebook friends with me?
Oh my god!
Whoa!
Right now.
That's my first question for the gay community.
Wow!
No, this is actually just me getting a new friend.
That was crazy. The biggest twist on
this
one
is
more
you,
thing
right?
to date.
Yeah.
What is happening in your cover photo?
I'm in an eco-friendly puppet musical for children.
That sounds amazing.
It's great.
It's called Gruff the Musical.
Yeah.
An epic fairy tale eco-musical parentheses with puppets.
Oh, yeah. We'll plug it.
Oh, wow. Thanks. We were just in the
you
Times,
live in Ohio?
Actually. I do. Well, I was from Chagrin Falls, Ohio, but I usually say Cleveland.
Do you live there now?
No, I don't know how to change that. Nothing could stop us. When you think of the gay agenda, what specifically is your agenda?
If I were king of the gays, I would live in Fire Island and everyone could come.
That's
so nice.
Not that I've ever been.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go this summer.
Fire Island, the TV show, has now started airing.
Yeah.
Whenever a trailer comes on, I feel uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I'm attracted to all of them.
Right.
There is not a person on that show that I'm unattracted to. Let me just throw that out there. But I hate
people
that it's
on
like
the TV show Fire Island are listening
yeah,
to this.
But I hate that it's like
in the
things
the
that we
Island.
Have on TV that represent the gay community as a whole. RuPaul's Drag Race. Love it. Fire
okay.
Island. Okay. And like The Real O'Neills and Gaycation. So you're either supposed to be like an incredibly masculine, like hunky beach guy, a drag queen, a gay teenager, or Ellen Page.
Well, I'm all.
But I'm like, no one, like, the average gay man is not that.
My gay agenda is to turn all straight women not straight.
That sounds like a pretty good one.
That's it.
That sounds
good.
Pretty good, pretty simple, very
and
concise.
I'm doing a good job.
So your gay agenda is really the gay agenda.
Yeah,
yes,
like the,
my gay agenda
the great
is
fear.
Like
yeah.
One William Moms is out
yes.
to get you.
Mike Pence.
We love Mike Pence.
We do.
We're so glad that he's here.
We should get a cardboard cut out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Just, like, Thoreau paint on
it. Nair, Vieira, and is that's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, it is.
Over my shoulders. That's my angel and devil for the day.
What is your least favorite gay or lesbian stereotype? And the follow-up to that one is, which one do you hate that you play into?
I don't know how to title it other than the word fairy. Like, my dad, growing up, used to, like, make fun of gay men by calling them fairies mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So just, like, the idea of, like, what that stereotype is of, like, the guy that's, like, super feminine and, like, in short shorts and, like, a crop top with, like, wings on and just, like, a full, I guess, like, the idea of a fairy gets me because I'm, like, I know people that think that that's really fun and I love it. And, like, I would never do that myself because I would not be able to pull it off. And, like, that's where that ends. Like, I'm not ashamed of it or anything like that. But it makes me mad when people are like, that is what a gay man is. Because it's not what a man is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The one that I play into, I don't know. Because in my mind, I eat Ben and Jerry's in bed on a Saturday night. So, like, I don't know if there are other, like, straight men that do that. But, like...
Eating Ben and Jerry's is just a gay thing.
Yeah,
like, I've
never
sure.
been a straight person
don't.
Who's ever had Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
This podcast brought to you by Ben and Jerry's. I think something that you play into that's a stereotype is that you
I'm
have sex with men.
I mean, like...
I think that's a stereotype.
Yeah.
Like, I consider myself to be a very average white gay man.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to think of, like, a stereotype that you play into because I feel like you're kind of just, like, every gay
I'm
man
every
in
man.
New York City. Yeah, you're an everyman figure.
Oh,
which is why this podcast
God.
Is so exciting.
Every gay.
Every gay. That's you. You're every gay. The stereotype I hate is people thinking that there's only butch and femme and that everyone is only one thing because I, like, dress butch, but my personality is, like, so
femme.
Incredibly femme. Like, get
honestly,
out.
You're sitting here twirling your hair. saying the word like over and over and over.
I know.
So, like, I think that's where that ends.
Like, because I dress butch, people assume that I am butch, which, like, I'm not. But the stereotype I hate most that I play into, you guys are both going to...
I'm gonna scream.
...laugh. And I do this all the time. I always will, like, roll my eyes and groan and be like... like, I hate the trope that, like... lesbians are just attracted to, like, every woman they see. And then I'm like, I can't fucking walk down the street without falling in love. Like,
that also goes with your, like, teenage girl brand.
That's
like,
true.
Like, because I'm pretty similar where, like, my brand is, like, having crushes.
Oh,
like,
yeah, mine
I have,
too.
You know.
But that, yeah, that's the stereotype that I'm always like, ugh, not all gay. Like, just because I'm gay doesn't mean I'm attracted to, like, everyone in the world. I'm like, ugh. I am both, but they're not related.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is your least favorite thing about being gay around gay people?
One of my favorite topics.
every single thing.
Know that I'm going to say every 30th text to Jay, which I know is a very specific number, but stay with me. I'm
which
like,
also, to be clear, means like once or twice a day.
Yeah. I'm like, can we just kill all of the gay people?
Yeah,
I'm
or like,
I hate gays.
I'll be on the subway and I'll be like, ugh, there are fucking lesbians in front of me. Just,
oh,
I'm gonna murder them.
One of my favorite stories about our entire friendship is we walk into this movie theater, AMC Village 7, which is one of the AMCs with like the big like lounge chairs. And we have bought our seats in advance because AMC has the whole like pick your seat in advance thing. We walk in and our seats are on the aisle. And I go into the row first. There's a gay couple sitting next to our pair of seats, and I fully walked in. The trailers are happening, so the lights are off, and I looked at them and went, ugh.
I was like, what? And I looked and I was like, oh, do you want to switch?
And I looked at them and I went, no, it's fine, and like sat down, and they put the armrest between the two of them down where before they had been not cuddling, but they were a little closer together than normal. And then we didn't realize until after the movie that like that was ridiculous.
That fully they probably were like, oh my god, we're like homophobes. But it happens to me like all the time, like I think it's a thing that happens to every like single gay New Yorker is. But, like, I'll see, like, two lesbians walking together, I'll be like, oh, God, and, like, roll my eyes, and they'll be like, oh, God, and, like, get scared, and then there's no way to be like, oh, no,
sorry, like,
I'm not homophobic, I'm just,
gay.
Like, very sad. What I hate about when I'm with, like, a group of, like, queer women and lesbians is that, this is such a stupid answer, but, like, everyone just wants to talk about being gay, you know? And it's like, I don't care.
Interesting.
Like, all of my friends who are women who aren't straight love talking about, like, being gay or being bisexual. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, did you guys watch The Leftovers this week? Like, there's nothing.
I still haven't.
You haven't?
No.
It's really good. I've had, like, friends in the past who are lesbians where it's been, like, when we hang out, we just, like, talk about, like, Eileen Miles and, like.
That's what we do.
We have never talked about Eileen Miles.
I have no idea who that is.
She's the person who Cherry Jones on Transparent is based on.
Okay.
She's also the first person to run as an openly female presidential candidate.
Charlie!
Whoa.
Little did we know. I'm leaving that in. That was amazing.
You know.
But anyway, like, when I hang out with lesbians, it's just like, oh, like, let's talk about Eileen Miles. Like, let's talk about Tegan and Sarah. Let's talk about Carol. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't want to talk about that.
You said that was going to be a stupid answer, but I find that, like, very interesting. It's not like, I was about to say, like, when I hang out with straight people, it's not like we talk about being straight, but, like, indirectly, there is, like, if we're, like, talking about girls or whatever, then, like, we are, talking about being straight.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to a gay bar with my friends, 90% of the time I'm like, do you see that guy over there? Left shoulder, like...
Well, yeah,
right,
and, like...
in the corner of the black shirt.
And, like, that's fine. Like, if we're, like, oh, like, I, like, hooked up with this person, or, like, oh, like, isn't this person hot, or, like, I like this movie. But if it's, like, the constant, like... Carol was so revolutionary because it was the and I'm like, shut up. Did you like it? Great. End of conversation. Like, you know,
I will say that, like, if I ever progress with a person past that of just like, oh, we're both gay, I immediately think we're dating. I'm like, I'm like, oh, this person is like really interested in like my actual thoughts and like about other things.
See, if I progress past that, I'm like, oh, finally I have a new friend.
But we have never progressed past that.
You're saying progressing past the initial conversations, like, about being gay.
Yeah. Like, when I meet a new gay... Like, if you were to bring a gay person to me and be like, he's gay, we would, like,
present you
talk about gay things. We'd be like, oh my god, Will and Grace is coming back. But then, like, after that, if he cares, like, about my Disney trip, like, then I'm like, oh, he's so into me.
Then you're like, when's the wedding?
Yeah.
That seems flawed.
Yeah.
Like, Ariana Grande's Into You starts playing, like, over the loudspeakers, and...
We've talked about this because, like, I'm the opposite way, you know? Like, I can hang out with someone for, like, 6 months.
And I'm like, Jay, they're into you, and you're like, I don't think so.
You're like, you guys are dating, and I'm like, no.
I can think of a couple people.
That's very rude.
But yeah, so I hate gay people. That's why I hate gay couples. Anyway.
Well, it sounds like you're saying...
I'm jealous of the gay community. Yes.
It sounds like when you see gay people who are dating, you're like, I'm sad. And I hate you.
That's absolutely
like,
true.
Like, I'm gonna push them off the Brooklyn Bridge. Like, right, I'm so mad.
But then single gay people, it's like...
Annoy me. Like, I'm just gonna say it. Like, they annoy me. The average, like, what I think of when I think of a gay person. Not all of them. I'm not... Like, I love you.
Like, I have very, very close queer female friends who aren't like that.
Yeah.
But then I also have, like, not so close queer female friends who are like...
You're awful.
Who are like...
How about one of the most tiresome things in hetero spaces?
Ooh.
Oh.
So I went on a date once to a beer garden. For a silent rave. It was on a rooftop in Queens. At a rooftop beer garden. And it was a lot of fun. I would highly suggest it if you ever want to go to one. If you're ever thinking about going to one, go to one. They're cool. But I walked in, and not saying that gay people don't do this, but I walked in, and it was like a frat, and everyone was smoking hookah, and it was just like very... the most heterosexual place I've ever been in my life. And I felt so uncomfortable. Not because... I felt like I didn't belong, but because in the back of my head, I was like, at least one of these people hates that you're here. So like, don't show them that you're gay and that I was like with another guy. So even when we were dancing, every time that a guy got like close to me, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen if like you get too close to me. And I guess I just hate that like that's how it is.
Do you think that that's because of... the way...
I think it's 50-50. I think it's 50% totally me, just being completely self-conscious. And I think it's 50% me, like, genuinely being worried about it because something, like, could happen.
Like, societal conditioning of...
Yeah.
For me, it's the opposite, which is that...
Again?
Which is that I feel like every time I'm out with, like, a group of only... I'm out. Every time I'm, like, at a restaurant... with, like, only
Bear
straight
Burger.
People. Listen.
I love Bear Burger.
Every time I have Bear Burger meets every day. But when I'm with, like, only straight people, it's, like, I feel like my straight friends, not to call any of them out, but, like, when straight people are in a big group, I feel like they're very, like, conscious and don't want to, like, offend me or, like, say anything bad. So they'll be, like, talking about men and they'll be, like, or women. And I'm, like... yep, got it. Like, surprise. Or they'll be like, oh, our waiter's hot, right? And I'll be like, yeah, sure. And they'll be like, don't hit on her. And I'm like, I'm not going to.
Like, not in my plan.
It's like, it's fine. Basically, the point of this, it seems, is just like, I just want to be alone. And let me relax.
I guess in our new, like, widely accepting of gay people, like, widely accepting of all kinds of different people, it's like, wanting to be PC is, like, and, like, I don't think I even know, like, how to do that all the time. You know, like, just because of where I came from, because of where I grew up, and, you know, I think that I probably learned something new about it, like, every day.
Well, I would say you walked in here and introduced yourself as cisgender, so, like...
Which is great.
You're already a step ahead of the majority of the population.
Well, I mean, and I think that I'm a curious, like, person, so this is the, you know, the kind of stuff where I'm like, I don't know a lot about this, like, I should find out, but yeah, maybe people, like, aren't as like that, but, like, you know, even introducing myself as cisgender would be, like, is me trying to, like, display that I know about this. Trying to show that I am PC. You know, it's like, I'm a straight person who knows how to identify myself by, like, this terminology. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. Like, again, at what point is it just not going to be a question?
Are you going to audition for the spring musical? Because we're doing The Wiz. And we're gonna need, like, as many minorities as we can get.
I'm not much for the whole singing or dancing or being on stage thing.
You sure you're a Mo? What gay stuff do you, like?
I'm into comics.
Like Kathy Griffin? She's Hilaire.
No, like, comic books.
That's not gay. That's just lame. You don't even sound like the ones on Bravo. Say the word fierce.
Yeah, I don't really say that word.
Maybe this is not true. I don't watch, like, a lot of LGBT media stuff, like TV shows. Why do I feel like there's more... I feel like gay male culture is more prevalent.
Why?
Great question.
Great question.
Do you want to start?
No.
Okay. Great. I think it's because white gay men are so much more, like, part of the mainstream now. Mm-hmm. People are, like, super... I mean, obviously not in a lot of the world, but just disclaimer. But I feel like the mainstream, like, media is super accepting of, like, white, upper middle class, cisgender gay men in a way that, like, no other group of, like, LGBTQ... Mm-hmm. people is, no one's really interested in them or, like, representing them. I think because gay men have just been, like, present for longer. And so, like, they're way farther ahead than anyone else because, like, there was Will and Grace, like, 18 years ago. And, like, we just got the L word in, like, 2005. Mm. And so we're, like, 10 years. Nope, that's not 10 years. How many years is that? 6 years. Woof. 6 years behind Will and Grace, so we're, like, just sort of now catching up to where, like, you were 5 years ago. We, like, just had Faking It, which was not, like, great representation, and we have, like, Supergirl and stuff. And also because, like, people only really want to see lesbians when they're, like, having sex. Yeah.
That also goes back to when we talked about the origin of the word lesbian and how men were like, oh, well, the only thing that could be gay is men, because why would women be into each other?
Yeah.
They would they should only be focused on pleasing their man and, like, cooking.
People have never really thought of, like, lesbians as, like, real, it's, like, something real that happens, you know?
Yeah. I'd like to hear you guys' musings on, like, straight icons, like, straight people that have become kind of, like, gay icons.
I mean, I feel like this is more, there aren't really a lot of straight people who are, like, lesbian icons, because there aren't a lot of lesbian icons. They're just, like, Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres, like, Ellen Page.
I feel like there are a lot of
Kristen Stewart.
Like, lesbian icons are just women icons. When Gina Rodriguez, like, makes a speech about being a woman, it then, like, becomes, know what I mean? Know what I mean? Or, like, like, that's bad. But, like, when a man makes a speech about being a man, like, it's not.
Well, I guess Nick Jonas isn't really, like, a gay icon, but, like, tried for a minute to really be one.
Yeah.
He did, but he got criticized really hard, though.
Yeah,
because
he was,
I,
like,
never understood
I've
why.
Technically had gay sex, and I was like, no, you haven't.
Well,
Nick.
He was like, he was like, I'm a gay ally, blah, 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 but he was only exploiting himself sexually. He was never, like, standing up for anything. And he would, like, go to gay clubs, but the clips of him in gay clubs were him just, like, lifting his shirt and, like, maybe singing. And I was like, I mean, I am not opposed at all, but, like, you're not doing anything for me. I feel like a lot of icons for gay men are women. Like, even just with
straight
the theater
women.
Community, you have, like, Warpaint, I'm going to say, is 99%, like, gay men seeing the show.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, maybe, like, Housewives.
Yeah, because it's two, like, Broadway divas who are both straight women.
But how many gay men went to go see Waiting for Godot with, like, Ian and Patrick?
Yeah, and Ian McKellen is a gay man.
Yeah. So, like, there's a weird balance, like, misbalance there. And it makes me feel
weird. I mean, it plays into me the sort of thing about, like, how gay men feel, like, deeply spiritually connected to straight women. Mm-hmm. And especially white gay men and, like, black women feel like they have, like, this, like, deep spiritual connection when really it's just, like, very, like...
It's almost fetish.
Yeah, it's definitely
fetish. There's
fetish-y.
That line...
Do you want to say that again?
There's that line in Bear.
Fetishization.
She's got it.
There's that line in the original version of Bear where the woman's like, there's a black woman inside the soul of every gay man.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which is, like, not true.
Horrible. Maybe souls of black women are in souls of black women.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's it.
Like, but yeah, I think that it, like, that's the whole thing about, like, white gay men that makes me uncomfortable a lot of the time, where they'll be like, yes, we love, everyone's so, like, white gays are, like, so into Nicki Minaj. And it's not because they, like her music or, like what she stands for, like her message. It's because they just, like, are like, yes, she's, like, my black soul sister. And it's like, but you're literally, like, 15 and you, like, live in Connecticut.
Who would you say is, like, the biggest lesbian icon who is a lesbian?
As much as I hate her, I would say Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah.
Same. As much as I hate him, I would say Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think we hate both of the biggest gay icons?
They do look like each other.
Who do you think is the biggest lesbian icon that's straight? Just to finish up her question.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
The biggest lesbian icon who's straight. There, like, really aren't any. I mean, honestly, probably Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because all the lesbians love Cate Blanchett, and she plays so many lesbians. Or, like...
Lady Gaga?
For lesbians?
For everyone. For gay men.
No. The biggest lesbian icon who is straight is Robin.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Gaga for gay men.
What about the biggest straight man who's an icon for gay men?
Are there any? Probably, like...
Every person I can
I'm blanking on straight
men. Is, like, a straight... It's, like, a straight man in Hollywood who, like, everyone knows is gay, though.
Yeah, like, Zac Efron, maybe?
Oh, my God.
He has a gay brother. Do you know what? Maybe Nick Jonas.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm also just blanking on straight people.
We're broken up. We were together, but... Sad to announce on this podcast that me and Nick Jonas are no more.
Oh no, you heard it here first, everyone.
You know, I talked to the team before I sort of started the promo for this record, and I was saying, look, a big part of my audience, having done a lot of theater and sort of immersed myself in that world, is my gay fan base, and I want to reach out to them and embrace them and pull them in kind of to what I'm doing now, and it's been amazing just to see the reaction. You know, doing that stuff in New York was fun, but beyond just the stripping part of it, which was their idea, not mine.
Blame the gays. I imagine it was their idea. I would imagine that.
Well. I feel like the really fun part about it was just sort of saying, look, you know, let's have fun, let's party tonight, there's a song coming out I'm excited about, and I want everyone to hear it.
We're familiar with the term ships.
Yeah.
Shipping.
Explain what it is from
Yeah, so shipping is short for relationships, which is when you see a movie, let's say Harry Potter.
You're about to explain relationships, and I was like, I think it's okay, Dominic.
When mommies and daddies, or daddies and daddies, or mommies really love each other. It's stupid. Never mind. Shipping is like, for example, if you were to watch Harry Potter, and if you were to say, I think Harry and Ron would be good in a relationship, first of all, you'd be
that's
wrong.
The yeah, that's you come stupid. Up with for Harry Potter.
You'd be wrong. I'm trying to think of the two most well-known
well,
characters.
Harry and Draco are shipped a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Or like, it's something that you create in your head, and then as you watch the show, it like colors the show differently. So, for example, when I watch Star Trek, I ship Data and Geordi. For anyone who's not familiar with
very specific.
That is
just trying to reach as many audiences as we can. And so I thought, is it more exciting when your ships become canon, or is it more fun for it to just be in your head? Like a little secret just for you in the TV show.
More fun in my head.
That's so interesting.
Right? Because sometimes they're like, we'll make this happen. And then you're like, oh, but I really liked it when like I could watch it and be like, and then they go and they kiss.
Yeah.
Like, bye-bye. Yeah.
That's my thing with Riverdale is, which sorry, Cameron Mendes, if you're listening.
Which I haven't watched. I've seen all the clips that, you know, go around the internet, like, I'm weird and I wear this hat.
Yeah, which I love.
Congratulations to whichever Sprouse.
Yeah, I don't know which one it is, but he's doing great work.
I think it's Cole.
But, like, Cole? I think Dylan has, like, I was gonna say candy bar, but that's someone else.
Dylan does have a candy bar.
Dylan Sprouse's candy bar. But, like, when I watched the first episode of Riverdale and, like, Betty and Veronica, like, kissed, I was like, no, I don't like this. This isn't what
Even
I want.
Even though
Wasn't that used as, like, queer baiting?
Yeah, it was.
That's
and,
what I heard about
and
that.
Then Cheryl was like, stop, Betty. We don't want, or, like, stop, Betty and Veronica. We don't want to see that. And I was like, yeah, we don't. That's right, Cheryl.
I agree with Cheryl. Like,
yeah, that's... I was like, oh, I don't want this. I like to read the comic books and be like, oh, they're going to kiss later.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it depends on how it's done.
Have you seen an example that worked for you?
Oh, same question.
Worked for me in what way? Like, worked for me? Or
yeah,
like...
I mean, yes. And also, yeah, with the shoulder shimmy. also, like, that you thought fulfilled the goal of, like, the TV show and also your expectations of the relationship.
I think it depends on how it's done. Like, if I'm watching something and I want them to be together and then, like, the showrunner or the director, whoever it is like, okay, fine, if that's what the people want, we'll give it to them. Mm-hmm. Then I feel dissatisfied because I'm like... If that wasn't your intention, then I don't want it.
Right.
You like when you feel like you got out ahead of it. You were like, aha!
Like, I didn't force them to do that. Like on Glee. That was a huge thing on Glee. Sam, played by Cord Overstreet, was supposed to be Kurt's, like, long-term boyfriend that he ended up with. And he was brought on to be that character. But then everyone fell in love with Blaine, and they were like, oh, well, then we'll just put Blaine and Kurt together. Well, now what do we do with Sam? And then Sam became a nothing character that they just... slowly wrote off the show. In those first couple of episodes where Blaine was just there helping Kurt come out, I was like, oh, they're so cute together. I wish that this is what was going to happen, but we all know that, like, this is why Sam was brought on. And then when it switched, I was like, well, now I hate Blaine.
Because then they always try to make the couple and, like, the people in it perfect.
Yeah. Now the...
Oh, good point.
Bucky and Captain America, and how everyone wants Bucky and Captain America to be together.
Is that called Stucky?
I think so.
Yeah.
Where?
I think so. Yeah.
Where does st come from?
That's what I'm... Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Who's Steve... Oh, got it. I'm with you. Continue.
And they've explicitly been like, that will not happen. Which, to me, I hate when people say that it won't happen.
They do that with, speaking of my other shoulder, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really mad when Rachel made me start watching Sherlock, and by made, I use that word very lightly.
I'm sorry.
And I was like, they end up together, right? And Rachel was like, no.
And they're pretty explicitly...
They almost actively avoid it.
I'm looking at you to confirm, Rachel, they pretty explicitly are like, they're never going to be together. Yes or no?
The writers even give him the lines of like, no, not gay.
And they do a lot of, like, again, queer baiting, where they're, like, they keep pushing it, and you're, like, just do it. Just fucking do it at this point. But then they're, like, we won't. We won't ever do it.
But
fuck
you. If they did another season of Sherlock, and in it they ended up together, I'd be mad. Because they'd be, like, that you didn't want this, we wanted this.
Yeah.
And now it's wrong. If that makes sense.
Rachel, do you have anything to say on this since you're our Sherlock expert?
I mean, I have so much to say on this. But just, like, watching before
She's
this
already
last
said it.
Season aired with, like, Mark Gatiss talking about, like, yes, I'm a gay man and, like, I want more, like, queer representation overall, like, but I don't want to put it in this story because I personally don't think it belongs and I'm the biggest Sherlock Holmes fan on the planet. So, like, I knew it was not going to happen, and then everybody gets, like, pissed off when it doesn't happen. But you're exactly right. Like, if they ended up putting it in, it would just be because they got such horrible backlash from this season of, like, fans being, like, you queer baited us for 9 years. And then, like, it all came to, like, nothing. And then, yeah, if they, like, added it back in, it'd just be, like, to, like, try and save their asses, but none should stop. Yeah.
But we talked about it in the first episode with Kirk and Spock.
Yeah.
And I love them together. Mm-hmm. But it'll never happen.
Thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
How do you feel about Brokeback Mountain?
Love it.
In what way?
No complaints.
Just, I don't know, like, do you like the movie?
Do I like Ang Lee's directing in the movie? No. Do I like Anne Hathaway's performance?
Yes.
Do I like Michelle Williams' performance? Yes. Do I like Anna Faris' performance? Yes. Do I like Jake Gyllenhaal's performance? I do now, after seeing him in Sunday in the Park of George.
Hello.
Do I like Matt Damon's performance?
Heath Ledger's
performance.
Matt Damon.
They look the same.
You guys are the worst with names.
I know, we really are.
Do I like Matt Damon's performance? Yes. I'm still mad that he married Michelle Williams.
He didn't. They never got married.
What do you mean?
They never got married.
No, I mean
they
in the movie.
In the movie, oh. Yes.
Did I cry when he was, like, smelling his shirt? No. The tent scene is awkward and too rough. But do I like it? Sure.
You guys, how about gay couples and advertisements?
I love a good commercial where at the end you find out the two guys are a couple. Or the commercial where the two women were, like, adopting the deaf child.
Oh!
But at the same time, I feel like it's the whatever company, marketing company is doing it, is sitting at the table going, how do we make our commercial go viral? I know, let's put a gay couple in it, and then everyone will see it, whether or not they, like, want to see the gay couple or not. And it makes me feel used. But at the same time, I'm also like, well, it looks like I love the Amazon Echo. It was, like, two dads, like, getting their kids ready for their day. And at the end, it was, like, Amazon Echo. I was like, well, it looks like I'm buying an Amazon Echo.
Yep.
I feel like when it's just, like, the commercial with the two moms adopting the deaf child, which I honestly can't even deal with. I like that commercial because it was, like, one of, like, six commercials.
Yeah.
And it, like, just happened to have, like, an interracial lesbian couple. And there was, like, a white couple doing something. And there was, like, a single dad. And it was just, like, all kinds of... This is from, like, 3 years ago.
The marketing campaign was a lot bigger than just
two but if it's, like,
moms.
If it's, like, a commercial that's, like, they're gay. And you know what? That's fine with us. Then I'm like, shut up. Just, like, tell me what you want me to buy, you know?
I honestly, in comparison, I feel the same way about it as I do with military Christmas commercials. Like, I just feel used.
Explain what? Military Christmas
commercial. Okay, not to
like
trigger, but you know the plane commercial from this past Christmas?
Yeah, I do know the plane commercial.
Like, when it's revealed that, like, she's in the military and her family misses her and it's Christmas, I'm like, I feel used. Like, you're manipulating me. Like, that's the same feeling I get when I see a gay couple in a commercial.
Well, because it's like, when is the marketing team being like, ooh, like, we'll reveal that they're gay? And then,
Because I feel like, even though they think we are, I don't think we're at that point in society where you can just have a gay couple in a commercial and it means absolutely nothing.
I was gonna say, like, what is the point where it's just a couple? Like, it's just people, you know, it's and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's just a mom and a dad, or like a dad and a dad, and it doesn't matter.
Even though I will say the Amazon Echo plays it off as that, but it's also very much them being like, we, like, accept everyone, and everyone can use the Amazon Echo.
Well, I also think it depends on the product. Because if it's, like, the Amazon Echo doesn't really have any sort of, like, coding, but if it was, like, two men in, like, vodka commercial, then it would be, like, oh, like, gay men only drink vodka. Because, you know, like, I saw a commercial for, like, some dating website. I remember what, it was, like, some, like, Match.com ripoff. And it was, like, five different couples, like, going through different stages of relationships. And it was, like, cutting back and forth between all of them. And one of them was gay men and one of them was a lesbian couple. And it was just, like, they were just all the couples. And even though I was like, oh, Rachel, look, gay people, I still was, it just felt very casual. And I really liked that because I was like, oh, it's, they're just another couple. They can, like, Match.com feels like chill about this. I don't know if it was Match.com, but.
Yeah.
It was probably Christian Mangle.
That's a Kindle, right?
Yeah, it's a new Kindle Paperwhite.
I love to read at the beach, but.
This is perfect at the beach. And with the built-in light, I can read anywhere, anytime.
Done.
With your book?
Nope. I just bought a Kindle Paperwhite. We should celebrate.
My husband's bringing me a drink right now.
So is mine.
Is being bisexual a deal breaker in terms of romantic involvement for either of you?
This is a very good question.
And does that intimidate you?
For me, personally, yes. But it's only because I have dated someone who is bisexual who cheated on me with a woman. So ever since that happened, there's, like, this constant thing going in the back of my head that, like, I will never be able to please you completely, and you'll always want to go find a woman. So, like, I would never be able to, like, do that. That being said, if someone came along who was bisexual, I wouldn't say no. It would just take a lot more for me.
I love bisexual men. I've dated many of them. I love them.
Almost exclusively.
Yeah, I mostly date bisexual women. Yeah. Or straight women who are in the closet.
Oh, I see.
What are gold stars?
A gold star... A gold star is a lesbian who has never had sex with a man. And a platinum star is a woman who has never kissed a man.
Okay. Would... No, I guess because men only. It's, so it's not just a penetration thing. It's specific to...
Yeah, it's specific to men. Yeah.
I wonder why we don't have that in the gay community.
I think it's, like, less common for gay men to have hooked up with women than it is for lesbians to have hooked up with men.
I can see that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's not, like, a thing in the gay community to be like, oh, have you ever hooked up with a woman? Because it is for lesbians, because most lesbians have.
Yeah.
I've, like, had that conversation with a lot of people of, like, have you ever hooked up with a man? And
I've
the answer
had
is usually yes.
Conversation with straight women, but
asking if they'd ever hooked up with men.
If I had ever hooked up with a woman.
People ask you that?
Yeah, but it's mostly like when you're drunk with someone.
Yeah, that's a straight and person it's like, question to ask.
Yeah.
It really is a straight person question. Yeah. I think every straight man I've ever known has asked me that question.
Are you a gold or platinum star?
You know the answer to that question.
Yeah, but
why are you asking
our listeners do. Our listeners
no,
do.
I'm not.
Does someone being a platinum or gold star matter to you?
To me?
Yeah.
No.
Has someone that you've hooked up with ever asked you that question?
Yes.
And it mattered to them?
I've talked about it with everyone I've ever, like, hooked up with more than once, but no one has really cared.
Is, like, the gold star, platinum star question as, does it go along with the top bottom question? Like, is it something that always is asked?
No.
Gotcha.
Because it doesn't have as much an impact on sex as, like, the top bottom question does.
Gotcha. Do people take pride in it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. People are, like, really proud of it.
Oh.
Do you have moments where you're, like, for Jay, like, yeah, I could, like, hook up with that guy, and then being like, no, or, like, or for you, like, oh, yeah, like, I could hook up with that girl, like, wow, that girl's hot, and then being like, no, like.
I sometimes will be like, oh, that guy's so hot, but it never is, like, active. It's like, oh, he's hot. If I was straight, I could definitely hook up with him.
I mean,
but it's never like, he's hot, I want to hook up with him. Like, I just the other day saw Groundhog Day, and I'm, like, super attracted to Andy Carl. The musical. For, like, half of the second act, I was sitting there thinking, like, would I actually, like, if on the off chance Andy Carl was like, let's do this right now, would I say yes? And I was like, honestly, probably not. I would be like, you are so handsome, and I find you very attractive. I do not want to have sex with you.
That's how I feel about Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful lady.
For gay men, what is the conversation around, like, having sex with people who have AIDS or are HIV positive? Is there a conversation about that, or is that, like, not really in the dating and casual hookup scene?
I'll give you two answers.
Great.
One, at least in the experiences that I have had, there is a conversation about it, but it's very casual, and it is during the conversation of, like, are you a top or a bottom?
Oh, okay.
It's like, are you a top or a bottom? Once you get past that gate, it's like, are you clean?
Oh.
And then, and it's just, like, very, like,
all and right. It's the same thing as asking.
Like, yeah, and then usually the answer will be something like, yes, and I'm on PrEP, or, like, no, I'm undetectable, or, like, literally anything, but there's always, like, a second layer to it.
Okay.
But at least in my experience, I would never be like, oh, you're positive? Like, great, that means that this isn't going to happen.
Oh, interesting.
And I know that there is a sexual, like, fetish of people wanting to have sex with people who are positive.
Oh, really?
And then there's, like, an even, like, subdivision of that, of, like, people who would like to be positive and, like, get that from people, of which I don't know a lot about, but I know that it is there.
That's honestly shocking.
Yeah.
To what extent are gay relationships still defined in heterosexual terms? Like, he's the man, I'm the woman. Like,
she's the man.
She's the man. Sorry,
great movie.
I feel like in the gay community right now, there's a lot of, that's how heterosexuals, like, date. So we have always been radical, so, like, we should do it differently. If you are someone that has two boyfriends and you are very happy and it works for you, I'm so glad that you're happy and that it works for you. What I don't like is feeling pressured to do that. If a guy was like, me and my boyfriend are interested in you, like, what's up? Anything past, like, a threesome, I'd be like, I mean, I'm flattered, but no thanks. Like, I consider myself to be very monogamous and would like the same from a person, and have actually had a lot of trouble with that in relationships where, like, in the end, it wasn't really the reason that we broke up, but it was definitely a factor.
It is interesting that, like, the idea of monogamy and, like, staying a virgin until you get married developed at the same time that the idea of property came about. Not why you think, but because you have heirs, you know, and your children get your property. So if your wife has had sex with other people, then you're not sure where your shit is going to go.
Yeah.
So,
hashtag Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yep. And so, like, the idea of monogamy and that something being desirable between two people who would not be able to have a child together is, like, yes, it is a social construct, but, you know.
Like, when gay marriage was legalized, there was a lot of pushback from parts of the gay community being like, okay, great, but that's something that's for you guys and is not for the gay community. We don't need that to feel validated, which I agree with to a certain stance. Like, no one needed to be like, okay guys, you can get married now, to, like, validate someone's relationship. But obviously the, like, more political and, like, economical reasons to get married are now available to everyone, which is great. I don't need to explain why gay marriage being legalized was a good thing.
Yeah, tell me more about that.
I was like, if I want to get married, I don't want other gay men to judge me because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I want to get married and you don't want me to get married, then don't get married.
Don't get married, yeah. I have the option to.
Yeah.
To or not to.
Yeah.
Well, the point is that it's equal, like, that you have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard this. I hadn't heard this, that there was pushback against.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that it was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly or anything like that, but, like, there was definitely, like, a little bit of that going on.
Yeah, because me as a straight person, when you said that, was like, you wanted it, so, like, what, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you fucking wanted it.
I'm gonna say something crazy.
Okay.
Wanna marry me instead? Just, Greg seems great, but why not someone you've connected with? That a yes?
One question that I had that I've discussed a little bit with at least one other time with a gay woman was, why are what we call gay bars overwhelmingly male? Why are lesbian bars wildly underrepresented, at least in this city?
Well, it hasn't always been that way. It's, like, the big thing. And lesbian bars have sort of, like, died out recently. Not recently in, like, the last year, but recently in, like, the last 10, 15
Six
years.
Months ago.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday. But, like, back in the day, the, like, pre-Stonewall day, there were a lot more lesbian bars. But they all died out mostly because of, like, the whole, like, thing about gay men and their community is that they're very, like, active in nightlife, and they have, like, a strong sense of, like, physical community, and, like, just, like, the fact of the matter is that, like, 90% of, like, non-heterosexual women just, like, want to stay home, you know? Like, it's, like, sad but true. Like, I've been to a couple of, like, bars on, like, lesbian nights, and it's just, like, so sad and boring, because, like, no one really wants to, like, go to a bar. Which is just, like, a sad stereotype, but it's true. Like, I saw a movie yesterday that was about lesbians, and there was a scene in a bar, and it was like, there were six people there. Like, no one's interested, because they're, like, it's more, like, bookstores and, like, bakeries and, like, things like that are more part of our culture than bars, which are, like, a very big part of gay men's culture.
But do you see, like, I don't see, like, lesbian bookstores or, like...
It's because you're not looking.
And
also because they're not...
Well, yeah, they exist.
They do, like really exist.
How many are in the city?
In this city, off the top of my head, I can think of four.
Oh, wow.
I guess it's also true that I'm not looking for, like, bookstores every day. Whereas, like, nightlife is something you do every weekend.
Yeah, and also it's not like bookstores are, like, a huge gathering place, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't really see, like, you know, lines out the door at Blue Stockings bookstore, which you should, it's a great bookstore. But yeah, and also because, like, in smaller towns, when there's only one, like, gay umbrella gay bar, it's mostly going to be the men, and the women are going to, like, find other places to be, like, a bookstore or, like, a vegan bakery. You know,
a vegan bakery.
Yeah.
we're talking about, like, you know, you'll see lesbians in, like, vegan bakeries and bookstores and everything. Like, what are some non-stereotypical signifiers for gay people? Like, you know, one of the first ones I heard of was having an earring only in the right ear. And which was probably a rumor. I don't know.
But I heard that too.
Elementary school or, like, in middle school, people were like, oh no, don't pierce. You know,
you're right.
Make sure
yeah.
that you pierce your left ear. That's such a, like, early 2000s, like, to have one ear.
Yeah. I think that's, like, a thing that teenagers tell each other, because I definitely knew that from everyone.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's
true? I've never seen it, like, practiced.
I mean, I doubt that there's, like, a person going around being like, well, your earring's in the wrong ear. But I bet it's, like, just like the whole handkerchief thing.
Yeah, it's probably a holdover from, like, the 60s.
Yeah.
The handkerchief code is something that is kind of still around today, but it's one of those signifiers for gay men of, like, the color and the location of, like, the handkerchief in your back pocket would tell people, like, what you are into. Like, I don't know any of them specifically.
Without publicly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it was a way to, like, wear something that looked, you know, like it was just, like, a normal thing you're wearing, but then it's really saying, like,
fuck
you know,
me.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, this is going to sound horrible, but I don't think that there are any that are non-stereotypical for me. We live in New York, so, like, when I go home to Maryland and I see a guy that's really attractive and very, like, well put together, I'm like, oh, he's probably gay. Because of the town that we live in, he's just so visually not what everyone else is that, like, there's no way and doing this. But here, like, I'm constantly like, oh my god, who's this? Like, or I'll, like, message people on Instagram and I'll be like, who is this guy in your picture? Like, tell me everything. And they're like, oh, he's my friend. He's straight. I'm like, oh, well, there goes my life.
Right.
And I've been thinking about a lot about this recently, but I feel like gay style has started, like, really sleeping over into like
straight
style.
Yeah.
So like now, where a couple years ago it would be like, oh, like skinnier jeans and like a tighter haircut was probably a gay guy. Like now you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Well, it's the same for lesbians. As like straight women now wear flannel all the time, and it used to be that flannel was like the indicator, and you'd be like, oh, great, awesome. But now like straight women wear it all the time. But I actually talked to Rachel about this the other day, that we feel like straight women wear flannel as a jacket and like queer women wear it as like a shirt, like buttoned up or like like open a little bit but still like a shirt, which is like the way to make the distinction. But aside from that, like, yeah, they're all like very stereotypical,
which I guess is why they're stereotypes. Yeah. And then there's like, I mean, this is terrible, but like on, like when I see guys on the train and they're wearing like really tight pants and they have a great butt, I'm like, oh, there's no way that they're straight, because they wouldn't care about this right now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right, right.
Or like...
Yeah, I mean, I guess the reason to have a signifier is so that you can, like we said, like, have the code without saying it in, you know, without admitting or saying it in public, you know. Maybe now, we live in New York and... 2017, which is because it's now, like, the world is so much bigger, it's so much more widely accepted. It's like, do we need this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it might be, you know, do we need this? And then, like, it might just be harder to identify, like, someone's sexuality just by looking at them, like you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's probably more true in, like, where you grew up, that there are, like, codes and signifiers, because it's not, like, here you don't really need a code anymore, so you can just be like, hey, like, what's up? Are you gay?
I mean, if I had it my way...
You gay?
Just on the subway, hey!
If I had it my way, everyone would be wearing shirts that are like, I am single, I am gay.
Facebook status.
Yeah, all just up like fully, so I don't need to ask, I can just know.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, great, because half the time when they are gay, they're taken. Which, I mean, in the gay male community, doesn't always matter, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that, because there is, like, less of a stigma about maybe, like, being out, and with the prevalence of, like, online communities, like, in, like, online queer communities, and even the nature of, like, wanting to be included in something that's, like, cool, that more and more previously, like, straight people are now promoting and highlighting themselves as queer? And I guess if that's not clear, or if that's like gross, I guess a follow-up question would be like, if being queer used to mean like being transgressive, like what does it mean if it starts to become the norm or something that people want to become the part of?
The word queer, as we all know, originally came about as kind of a catch-all term for like transgressive sexuality, and not just like anything that was not heterosexuality. Used to be just like labeled as like abnormal sexuality, which then became queerness. And I feel like it has kind of lost that meaning, and now queer just means like not heterosexual.
Right. People are arguing, or not people, like Huffington Post is arguing that like kinky straight people are queer.
Right.
And I'm like, where is that line? And like, what does that mean? And
yeah. Because, you know, we live in a city where, like, the queer scene for a long time was, like, leather bars and, like, you know, dungeons. Like, you read Larry Kramer's stuff from, like, the 70s. He'd be, like, tied up for, like, 3 days having sex.
Right, that
and,
book
like,
that you told me not to read.
Faggots, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the AIDS crisis happened, and that sort of, like, for lack of a better word, died out. And now, with, like, homonormativity in, like, a big way is kind of, like, the thing. Like, gay men and gay women, like, getting married and having children. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, queer people. Like, people who are not men or women and people who are not gay or straight. I feel like are now just called, like, queer instead of, like, looking at shades of what identity is. There was a time when, like, you probably would have felt more comfortable identifying as queer, because gay men and lesbian women are, like, trying to move away in not everyone, but, like, many people are trying to move away from, like, the underground scene of queerness.
Yeah.
I feel like it now has less of sort of, like, a being non-heterosexual and, in some cases, non-cisgender has so much less of, like, a... It just has so much, like, a less of a dirty connotation than it used to. Right. Does any of that make sense? Did I just ramble for, like, 3 minutes?
No, it did.
And, like, going back to what I said in the introduction, one of the reasons I don't, like, openly say that I'm bi is because, one, like, I'm, like, there's still the nature of, like, not being entirely sure. And also, because of homonormativity and because, like, we're going to such a place right now where even, like, talking about things like queer theory is, like, blasé.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, oh my god, are we still talking about queer theory? Like, Jesus. It can feel like capitalizing on a movement to identify as queer now. Yeah? Does that make sense?
No, you're exactly what you mean.
You're like, I'm not straight. Like, I'm bi. Like, I'm included in this now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't say that I have privilege.
It's the James Franco thing.
Yes.
Of James Franco being like, well, I'm not technically straight. And it's like, okay.
But you get all of the privileges of being straight.
Yeah, you're like a straight passing man in fucking Hollywood.
Yeah, so.
You're fine.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Homosexuality as it exists is a Western invention. It's a Western word for a theoretical concept. Because, you know, there have been people all around the world who have expressed same-sex desire.
Yeah.
But European and American, you know, scientists and social scientists came up with the terms heterosexual and bisexual and homosexual to label things that really don't deserve labeling, because everyone expresses, like, people who identify as gay, everyone expresses it differently. And it doesn't really have a meaning because, like, Robert identifies as gay and I identify as gay. But, like, we express it differently, obviously, because, like, I sleep with women and you sleep with men. And, like, mm-hmm. we both identify as gay, but, like, I have more experience with, like, heterosexual encounters than you do, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, there are people who, still to this day, but mostly, like, in the 50s and 60s, people who identified as homosexual but would, like, stay in heterosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
All of which is to say that labels, I think, are a difficult thing to kind of grapple with for such a, like, huge topic and part of identity. You know? Right.
It's like how people, like, now are using the term bromance.
Right.
Of, like, mm-hmm. that's my friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, who I hang out with.
Yeah. It's, like, slightly sexual, and it's like, well, why can't a friendship just be, like, whatever you want it to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, this one involves some backstory.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So,
the year was 1995.
So, Jay explained to me Snatched and Bald, which yesterday. So, Jay explained that to me, and I understood that, like, that's not my terminology, like, I can't use that. But one time I accidentally did, and I didn't mean to, but I said it to some gay people, and they lost their minds. They were like, oh my god, this is so great, well, I can't believe you know what that means, blah, 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 blah. And it called into question for me, like, first of all, I shouldn't have said it, and I know that, and I regret that, but, like, they were so excited because they were like, we feel like we can talk to you now, yeah, like, using our language, because, like, you know that. And I was like, well, I don't know very much, but I know that one. And they, like, were so excited about that. So how, my question is, like, how do I, without, like, appropriating or being rude or anything, interact with my gay friends in specific languages?
A lot of, like, gay slang that white, cis, gay men use originally comes from, like, the black trans community and the black drag queen community back in, like, the 70s and 80s, and then it just kind of becomes, like, slang for the white gays, like, okay. Snatched and bald, and, like, white gays are always, like, talking about having a kiki, and it's like, well, I mean, that's not actually what you're doing, like,
because right.
You're not a black trans woman.
But I think that there's also a big difference if all of a sudden I got, like, a Facebook notification that, like, Megan's throwing a kiki in her apartment, and then you just, like, saying a word.
Yeah, right.
So I think that it, so, like, let's draw the line now that, like, that is not what we're talking about. Like, Megan throwing a kiki.
Yeah. Like, we're talking about using the words.
Yeah.
Straight people using the gay community's words.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, at least specifically, like, with gay people, like, I wouldn't be like, I'm bald, my dad. Like, first of all, he would never get it. Second of all, like,
very weird. Oh my god, dad, I'm bald. He's like, what?
I don't have any kind of strong opinion about it. The only straight people that I really talk to are my family members, who I wouldn't use any of that language with because they wouldn't understand it.
Right.
And when I do, my mom is always like, what? And then I say what it is, and she's like, oh, like, okay. And she takes it just like, that's what the kids are saying.
I think there's a big difference between, like, you using it and, like, Jimmy Fallon using it, where it's, like, you understand what the history is and where it comes from, and, like, you understand what it's saying, and you, like, take the time to be like, can someone tell me what this means? As opposed to...
You take the time to...
You're right, I really do.
Ring a bell and say, can anyone help me?
But yeah, like, if Jimmy Fallon was all of a sudden like, I'm gagging, I'd be like, what?
Because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't know what it means.
Yeah.
And also, you surround yourself, like, mostly with gay people.
I do, yeah.
So it's not like you're just completely isolated from the gay community, and then you're, like, saying to your straight friends, like, oh my god, I'm bald, and your straight friends are like, what's going on?
So are you saying that it can be, like, an accent sometimes, where you just pick it up?
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm. Interesting.
But then the reason that I usually say that you would never have a reason to say it is just because, like, literally, you just don't really have reasons to say things like that.
Right.
You know? For listeners of the podcast who don't know, Megan loves Sarah Bareilles, but she would never be like, oh my god, Sarah, like, I'm gagging. Like, that's just not the way that you talk about, like, Sarah Bareilles.
Right.
Or, like, about, like, the Celtic women.
You're right.
Oh my god, I love the Celtic women.
The Celtic women are Megan's favorite.
But, like, if I took you to a drag show, that would be totally different.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
See
okay.
What I mean?
Yeah. I wouldn't go with, like, my straight friend to a Sarah Bareilles concert and be like, oh my god, I'm bald.
Yeah.
Because that would be bad.
Are you saying that that's not what you would say after you saw Waitress?
That is, in fact, what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say anything after
she saw Waitress. Just like, I'd be in catatonic shock after I saw Sarah in Waitress.
How do we get straight people to stop saying partner unless they're from Texas?
Okay. Same fucking question. If you are listening to this and you're straight, stop calling your significant other your partner. I hate it more than anything. It makes me sick. I hate it.
It's so gross.
I don't like the word partner, no matter who's saying it.
Really?
Which is a hot take, I know.
Yeah, well, that's unexpected.
Like, even when gay people are like, oh, am I partner?
I
don't like that.
I like it for the reason that I don't want straight people to say it, which is, like, then you know that, like, traditionally, if someone says partner, I'm like, oh, now I know.
Yeah.
Gay, you know?
It feels like it's capitalizing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, I'm like, cool. I'm like, yeah, post-gender and post-sexuality. Yeah. It's like, no, you're not.
No, you're literally
go
not.
Go be in your straight relationship, say you have a girlfriend, and then I'm like, fine.
Cool. No one's upset at you.
Yeah.
Now I'm upset because you said partner.
Yeah,
because
you said something that made me feel gross.
Also, I know this is the unintelligent answer to this, but I'm always like, your business partner? Right? Is it like,
do you own like a law firm?
Yeah, like the guy that, like, runs the juice place with you down the street, or like, is this the guy that you, like, fuck? Or is this, like, gonna turn out to be a woman? Or...
Here's the story of the saddest moment of my life. Do you know...
I do.
That's the love of my life.
I can't believe how many boings are gonna be in this episode.
I know. When I was in her class, her class, she referred to her partner once, and I had already fallen in love with her, and I was like, it's happening. It's possible. Her partner. This is it. This means it's,
I can swoop,
like,
in,
I'm
easily.
Ready. I can do it. This is my moment. And then I found out that he was a man, and I honestly wept. And Rachel had to calm me down and console me. I was devastated. And that's why straight people shouldn't say partner.
To save lives.
To save the lives of poor, young, innocent women.
I wish this could cut to, like, an infomercial of us just being like, yeah. To save lives, please call the number.
That Sarah McLachlan song, please, yeah. Underneath.
Oh, the angel.
Ooh, that was beautiful.
Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Is she married now?
Yeah, they got married.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't talk about it.
I'm so sorry. My condolences. So anyway, that's why we should stop straight people from saying partner. I feel like that should be the next great movement.
I agree.
I started to write on the train ride here, so
amazing.
They're a little bit scattered.
I can't wait.
Okay, do you think Margot Robbie is actually 26, or is she pulling a younger on all of us?
Younger,
for sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I go back and forth constantly.
She's in her 40s.
I'm 25. There's no way that she's a year older than me. And she can't even pull off that, like, oh, I just, like, look more mature for my age. Like, that's not
no
true.
No way.
I was
going
to try to do
granted,
an Australian voice. I don't know if I can.
I've never seen her in person, though.
Me neither.
So, like, Margot Robbie, if you want to be a guest
Margot,
on the podcast.
If you're available.
Margot, come with your birth certificate. Can't pronounce that word. Birth certificate.
It's, I don't know what would make me believe that she's actually 26 if she's like a lot shorter than I think she is. I think Margot Robbie's a really incredible actress. I love watching her and everything. She just can't convince me that
she's not 26.
2 years older than me. Frankly, if she is fooling us all, good for her. As I'm sure some of you know, the sound design categories were reinstated for the 2017 2018 Tonys. Do you think that this is an example of gay protest working?
Yes.
And also, do you feel bad that American Psycho wasn't able to win?
Yes.
Tyra Banks recently tweeted, one word life size, oops, two words life size two.
Oh, yes.
How do we feel?
Are we all aware that it's a Christmas movie?
What?
What?
Yeah. It's going to be on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh my God.
And it's going to be one of their Christmas films. Like, and the plot is that Eve returns. Lindsay Lohan will not be in the film.
Do we know that,
though?
Yes. Eve returns to help a woman deal with Christmas.
Deal with Christmas? In what way? Is she
in
doing?
Any kind of way?
Just, I need someone to help me deal with Christmas.
I need help, and I don't even celebrate Eve. Christmas.
Eve is really great.
Whoa. Okay, so this raises obviously more questions.
Right.
As you can imagine. Like, the Hallmark Channel, which I also didn't think really existed.
Let me tell you, it's my mom's favorite channel.
There's, like, one movie every year that gets nominated for, like, one performance Emmy.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so, like, Betty White was, like, the Christmas grandma.
Yeah.
And
or it'll be, like, someone was, like, having a rough year, so it'll be, like, Susan Sarandon in The Miracle of Hanukkah. And you're like, oh, Susan.
Oh,
I'm a little let down that it's not coming out in theaters, because if that movie came out in theaters, it would blow up.
Yeah, I bet. Is Tyra Banks in financial duress?
I don't know, because here's the thing. She went to one semester of Harvard. She did, like, a four-week program at Harvard and was like, I'm a businesswoman. But now she's, like, going back to Top Model. She's doing Life Size again. She's, like, doing a greatest hits of her whole career, which makes me worry that, A, she's very sick and she's going to die soon, or B, she ran out of money. To which I say, how? Because her husband is very rich and she's got, like, a baby.
Yeah.
So you'd assume she did some financial planning.
The only hope that I have for the new version is that they release Eve dolls at Christmas.
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Hallmark Channel has that kind of marketing budget.
I don't know. I hope they do, because they could make like a nice profit off
of
that.
A nice profit off you.
I'm reading an interview where Tyra refers to it as edgy. Oh, everyone, I am so sorry. I was wrong. Life Size 2 will not be on the Hallmark Channel. It will be on Freeform.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, it will be called an edgy offering for young adults. She says, we did 3 or 4 versions, and then finally we were like, you know what? Eve has grown up now. Let's not do a kiddie movie. Let's do a movie for young adults, with the result that this is going to be an edgy Eve that you see. An edgy Life Size 2. The script is being written right now, so even I don't know 100%, but it's definitely going to be like, oh my god, Eve does what? Cover your eyes.
I like the implication that they, someone? Filmed it 3 or 4 different ways.
Like, yeah. Like, and then they were like, not this one. And they just like deleted the file.
Months filming Life Size 2.
And they're like, we gotta do it again.
Do cocaine? Like, what is Eve gonna do during Christmas?
Well, it is definitely Christmas.
Tyra, what have you gotten yourself into?
Do you know Be a Star?
No, but if you sing it, I'm sure we can follow you.
Okay. Eve's great, no matter where she goes. Dress her up from her head to her toes. On the town, at the mall, Eve loves high fashion after dark. At the club, she'll spend the whole night.
That was a lot, wasn't it?
It's been exactly 1 second since we recorded the intro to this episode. Anyway, thank you so much to everyone who came on and asked us questions. Dominic, Kat, Charlie,
Gabby,
Megan,
yeah,
and Anna.
If you have any questions that you didn't hear that aren't sexual in this episode, feel free to tweet at us at one more thing with an A because I was taken, or email us at numberonemorething@gmail.com.
Yeah, now we're going to take a little break.
Mm-hmm.
After season one.
Yeah.
We'll be back in the future with season two.
That's it. That's right, everyone. You heard it. Season two announcement right now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were going to... Well, we're going to do a season two. It's going to be in a couple months. We are not sure when yet. We actually do know when. We just haven't announced
Stay
it yet.
Stay tuned for a season two official announcement coming sometime in August, I assume.
Season 2 is going to be pretty cool. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it is.
We have some really cool stuff lined up.
We do. I feel like I'm just mimicking you, but...
Yeah. Season 2 is going to be awesome. Season 2 is going to be our first season with a producer the whole time.
I genuinely, when we started this season, was like, God, I'm so excited to, like, start this podcast. And I feel the same way about Season 2, but it's more like, I'm so excited to get to those episodes.
Yeah.
Because the episodes that we have lined up are really good.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
A lot of them are stuff we really wanted to do, but we wanted to wait until we had more time.
Yeah, and so like, we didn't know how to do,
yeah.
And now that we've kind of, you
time
know,
and resources.
We have one season under our belt, we know how to do it.
Yeah, now we're experts.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
Thank you to you, the fans. That
yeah,
honestly,
thank you so much
like,
for listening.
I feel like if only 4 people listened to this, we still would have done it.
Yeah.
But there have been times where like getting the episodes out has been a little more difficult than they needed to be. But our fans like drove everything forward.
It's true. Yeah, we've been joking about this podcast for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And then we did it and we were like, nobody will listen. But people really did.
And I feel like we've said that at the end of like 6 episodes, but it's honestly true. We get feedback all the time from you guys that's like, we love the podcast, we're listening, it's so good. And you know what? You know where you can take all that? Right to iTunes. Write us a review. We honestly read them. I wake up every morning and I'm like, has anyone reviewed us on iTunes? And the days where people have, I'm like, look at this.
It's true. I don't know how to access them, but Anna and Robert send them in the group message all the time.
So really, don't keep us to yourselves. Share this podcast with your friends.
Yeah, in the few months that we're taking off, tell your friends that you're listening to this amazing podcast and you're just waiting for season 2 desperately.
Yeah.
If you have any suggestions of stuff you want to hear in season 2, let us know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of our season 2 episodes actually are things that people requested that we just didn't have time to get to this season.
Yeah. I would love if we come back for season 2 and we're like a viral hit.
And we're like Ava Perone and they're like under the balcony of the Casa Rosada and they're like, one more thing.
They're outside your
window. One more thing. One more thing. And we come out and we're like, hello. So before we go, we have a couple of really special thank yous for the whole season.
We do. Yeah.
We want to thank
Penny Hunt for being featured in a lot of episodes.
Yeah. Let's see if she's got anything to say.
Hi.
Hi. We're recording the finale of season 1. And we just wanted to call and say thank you for all of your contributions.
Well, thank you. It has been such a pleasure starring you in your podcast.
Season 2 is actually just going to be called One More Thing with Penny Hunt.
Yeah.
All right. Happy to do it. Since this is your final episode, I'll thank you guys for doing this because final episode of season 1.
Oh.
This is a really interesting podcast. I've learned a lot and I really enjoy listening to it. So thank you for making it.
Oh.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. Have a great final first season episode.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you to Hari Neff, future guest star, and queen of this podcast.
Thank you to everybody and everyone that has been a guest this season.
Tom, Max, Juan, JB, Emily, and Shelley.
Thank you to Rachel for letting... I mean, thank you from me to Rachel for letting me come over to your apartment.
Yeah. And thank you to Rachel for letting me use the living room.
Yeah. And for taking Sia away from me whenever I get too scared.
Thank you to Sia for adding flavor to this podcast.
Thank you to Scott Holmes, who we do not know.
Maybe in season 2 we will know him.
I hope that we credit him, like, online somewhere, and then it pops up and he sees it and he's like, wait, what? And then he's, like, a raging homophobe. And like,
oh my God.
Thank you to Stephanie Hawkins, as always, for giving us the wonderful pictures that we've been using all season and that you will definitely be seeing over the break as well. Thank you to Sarah Kleist, once again, for skyrocketing.
For giving us this microphone and really making it possible to make this podcast and also making us be like, oh yeah, we should do it now.
Thank you to you, Jay, for
that's me.
Co-hosting this with me.
Thank you to you, Robert, for co-hosting this with me.
Thank you. Thank you to Anna for coming on
Our
a little more than mid-season way through and just like really jumping on and taking the reins. It was a lot for the two of us to handle.
Thank you to Anna for making our lives 1,000 times easier.
Honestly, the past couple of episodes have been 100% easier to put out.
Episodes 5 through this one are only good because of Anna.
That's not true. Collaboration.
So just wait until Anna has a whole season under her belt after season 2.
Yeah, it'll be amazing.
Anna's whole face just went,
keep an eye on Anna. She's going to be a famous podcast producer.
We're not going to be able to afford her.
I know.
Still waiting for my check, weirdly.
Thank you to Vistaprint.
Yeah, thank you.
Vistaprint hooked us up.
Yeah, really.
Thank you to Organic Tostitos, who still does not sponsor us, but we're holding on hope for season two.
This is a weird thank you, but thank you to everyone who we've talked about on the podcast who has given us something to talk about.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Murphy and Carrie Coon and Carrie Brownstein and Sarah Quinto.
Thank you to Hari Enough. Be sure to stay subscribed to this channel because we are going to be releasing bonus content in our hiatus. And be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram because we'll be releasing bonus content there, such as maybe our presentation on Leah Michelle's illiteracy.
We really have to do that.
We might post that if enough people are interested. That's it.
Wow.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap on season one. Oh, that feels weird.
Like, I've definitely called Jay my lesbian before, but, like, I'm not friends with Jay because she's a lesbian. Yeah.
Right. And I've called Jay my lesbian friend, too, but, like...
The fuck?